Emmanuel. What does that mean? Emmanuel means what? God is with us. Why is God with us? Because God is what? God is for us. Why is God for us? Because God wants to save us. Why does God want to save us? God wants to be in us. Why does God want to be in us? So that God can fill us. Why does God want to fill us? So that He can lead us. And why does He want to lead us? So that He could reveal Himself through us. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us. Won't you take your revelation and turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. We're going to take a little look at Nehemiah and some other passages of Scripture this morning to see what God would have for us. In just looking at his life and how Nehemiah was no doubt a praying man, we see that he continually turned to God in prayer from the very first time that he heard of his brethren in the condition that they were in. We got to keep in mind Nehemiah was faithful in what his task was and his job. His job was to be a cupbearer. And as a cupbearer, he had a great responsibility and a sense of trustworthiness by the king. But when he received word, here he comes in, chapter number 2, we go into a place where the king asked him what was going on in his spirit. Why was he downcast? He obviously wasn't sick, but that wasn't characteristic of him. He was usually a happy, joyful servant that always had a bright countenance that expressed that joy before the king. Well, the king noticed that something wasn't right with him, so he asked him. And he says in verse number 4, "Then the king said to me, 'What do you request?'" And what did he say? "So I what? I prayed to the God of heaven." Do you think he prayed out loud? More than likely not. It's not recorded what he prayed. He's talking to the king and dialoguing with him. That's one neat thing about the servant of God. When you have a relationship with him, you don't actually have to voice your prayer to be praying. You pray from within. You pray from your heart. You pray from your mind. And he goes to praying, asking God to grant him favor as the king is speaking to him. He knows he's at the mercy of the king. So we see Nehemiah walking in the revelation that he had because of the work that God was doing within him and for him so that God would work through his life. Remember, there's a pattern. Remember, we've talked about this before. There's a pattern of how God works. God does things what? For us so that he can do things with us so that he can do things what? Through us. That's just how God works. The things he does for us is the things that he does so that he can do with us. The only way to do things with God is by faith. That's the only way to please him. The only way to work with what God does for us is by faith. When we're working with God, you work with him by faith. And what is faith? How do we define faith? Faith is what? Seeing and agreeing with what God sees. Of course, God sees so much more than what we see. But God reveals things to us that he wants us to see. And when we operate in faith, we see what he sees and we agree with what he sees. And now we're working with him. And when you're working with him, know what God does then? God works through us to manifest his will and work to the people around us. That's the whole purpose of Emmanuel, that God had done something for us so that God can be with us, so that God can work through us. Amen? Amen. It's always whatever he does is for us, with us, and through us. And the only way to bring glory to him is when he's working through us. And the only way he works through us is when he's working with us. And the only way he works with us is when we're working with him in faith. Nehemiah was a man of faith. That principle of walking with God by faith has not ever changed. The Bible teaches us that the just shall live by what? By faith. Or we can say the righteous shall live or walk by faith. And faith only comes by what? Hearing. And hearing from where? Hearing from the Word of God. Hearing from God. See, that God gives us a Word. We see the Word that He's given us by faith. We agree with Him how He sees it. And now we are living and walking by faith. And this is Nehemiah. He was a man of faith. That's how he lived. Now, what is the product of living and walking by faith? It's a beautiful word. A word that brings great comfort to us. It's what, Miss Pat? When we live by the Word of God, we trust what God, who God is, we trust what God reveals, we see it the way He sees it, God promises us peace, 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 perfect peace, the way He reveals it in Isaiah 26:3. God says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me, who trusts in me. God said, I will keep him in perfect peace. I will keep him in perfect peace. Well, He doesn't use the word perfect in there. He says it like this, I will keep him in peace, peace, which is an emphasis of the fact that this peace that He keeps us in is referred to as a perfect or complete peace. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today, is this peace that Nehemiah walked in and a peace that all God's people walk in when they are walking and living by faith. We can call it perfect peace, but it comes in three ways. It comes in three dynamics, and I'll give them to you up front what they are, and we're going to discuss them and look at them and how this applies. Number one, to have perfect peace, you got to have peace with God. I'd write that down. It's impossible to have perfect peace if you don't have peace with God. Now, when you have peace with God, now you're in the position to have peace from God. It's different. You can be at peace with God. That puts us in the position to receive peace from God. But then there's a third dynamic that is surrounded by perfect peace, not just peace with Him, not just peace from Him, but the peace of God. The peace of God. You can't have the peace of God if you're not receiving peace from Him, nor are you at peace with Him. And let's just take a moment and look at Nehemiah operated in all three. He was a man of faith, therefore he was a man that was at peace with God. He received peace from God, and then he functioned in the unknown with the peace of God. And that made a world of difference from when the enemy was attacking him, the assignment that he had, the people that he was leading, this calling that was upon his life of going from a cupbearer who served one man, the king, who is now a leader of a nation and a very effective leader of a nation, simply because he had peace with God, he had peace from God, and he was walking with the peace of God in his life. He was a man that was living in perfect peace. Was things easy for him? No, not at all. Matter of fact, the scriptures give us a great indication. This task that he was given, this assignment that he walked in, it was very challenging, even though God's hand of favor was upon him, Brother Shannon. The good hand of the Lord was upon him. He had the authority of a king and had the favor and authority from the King of heaven and earth. But his duty and his devotion and his responsibilities were overwhelming at times. They were a challenge. The enemy attacked him. The work was overwhelming. The scripture says they had to work with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. I mean, they had to work and they had to war at the same time. And the hand of favor was upon them. So just because God favors you doesn't mean, or favors us, doesn't mean life's going to be easy with His favor. Matter of fact, it can be very hard. It can be very difficult. See, but when you're working for Him and you're warring along with Him, you know what happens out of that? A great witness develops in your life. And that's where that peace of God and that witness that is established in our life becomes a way that has an effect on people that are watching us walk in the peace from God. When they can't understand why we're doing what we're doing and how we can do what we do and why we do it with delight and joy in things that are we're in the dark on and we don't have solutions for, we don't have direct answers for, as Paul would encourage the church at Philippi when he says, brethren, don't be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And he says, and the peace of God, the peace of God that goes beyond what? You can't understand it. It's out of reach for us to recognize and be able to understand the circumstances and the situations you're in. The peace of God, not just peace from Him, but the peace of God, what does it do? It guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace with Him, peace from Him, and the peace of God. Let's look at it, how it unfolds for us in the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 5. Look at this. Romans 5. Watch how this plays out. Because Romans 5 gives us a picture of all three, points us in that direction. Nehemiah functioned and operated in this beauty. Romans 5, let's just start in verse number 1, be the best place to start. And these first five verses bring so much comfort and so much light into the life of those that belong to Jesus. Therefore, now you got to keep in mind, anytime the Scripture gives us a conjunction like therefore, it's tying us back to what He just taught and what was He just teaching us, that we've been justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace what? We have peace what? We have peace with God through who? Jesus. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to be a mediator between God and man and God. He was the only one that could represent God before man, and He was the only one that could represent man before God. He is a mediator who mediates between the wrath and the judgment of a holy God and a group of people who are fallen sinners. Jesus reconciled us to God the Father by His life and by His sacrifice through His blood. We have been justified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus. The word justified means specifically that it is just as if you've never sinned. Remember that. To be justified through Jesus is like you have never sinned. Why? Jesus never sinned. Jesus was without sin. He was perfectly righteous and just. And when we in faith trust Jesus with our life, with our sins, and we give them to Him, we are declared justified before the throne of God. Now, don't miss this. Because if you miss this of having peace with God, being justified with Him, as Corinthians would tell us, that Jesus traded out our unrighteousness. He traded our sin. He took our sin upon Himself, upon the cross of Calvary, and He gave us the righteousness of God in Him. You know what that means? That we are as righteous as God is righteous in Christ Jesus. That means that what you've done, who you were, that has been buried That has been cast in the sea of forgetfulness. It's you have been declared justified before the throne of God. Not that you just didn't sin, but you've been declared completely, totally innocent before the throne of God, not because of anything you or I or we did, but because of who did something for us. And God sees us as his very own righteousness. We are as righteous today in Christ Jesus as you have ever been. That is where the peace with God comes in, that now I have a friend in him. I am a brother with Jesus. I have been clothed in his righteousness. So I don't have to bring up my past. I don't have to bring up that. That's been dealt with by him. He covered all that. He sees me as innocent before the throne of God. Now my flesh sees me different. My flesh sees me not as being righteous. My flesh sees me as being condemned and worthless and no good. So I have to not think or operate in the flesh. I got to live by what? By faith. And by faith, I live without sin. Justified. As if I've never sinned before. In the life of Jesus Christ. See, that sets me up for something glorious. Because Paul is going to help the church at Rome with this. Watch what happens. And this is how Nehemiah was living. He says, and through, verse number 2, through whom, that is Jesus, also we have access, it still applies by faith into this grace in which we stand. This is all about faith. This is all about believing what God's done for us in Christ Jesus. There's other places where Paul said, just as you receive Christ in Colossians chapter 2, just as you receive Christ, which was by faith, also walk in him by faith. That is, don't listen to what your flesh knows too much about you. I want to tell you, your flesh is corrupt. It's no good. No doubt what the flesh sees in you and your flesh, it's messed up. But we don't live by the flesh. Amen. We don't live by sight. We don't let our flesh dictate us. We want to live by what God tells us who we are now and what he's done. And what that begins to do is allow us not only to understand that I am justified, but now I live in that justification in Christ. And he is working with me, wants to work with me so that he can work through me. And the only way he can work through me is because now we are at peace with one another. Somebody's bridged a gap for me that I couldn't bridge myself. God's at peace with me. He's not at war with me. Amen? Amen. And I'm no longer at war with him. I'm at peace with him. We have been reconciled to him in Christ Jesus. I don't have to be threatened by him, and he doesn't have to be any kind of way concerned about me. Why? Because he's already covered me. He's made me just and right in Christ Jesus. So now we have a means by which we can work in me and with me. And then we go on from there. Notice what he says. Not only do we have access to live in this, to walk in this, and stand in this, he's dealing with our past that affects our present condition. And he says we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What is rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God? That we've got this great promise. What does Titus chapter 2, 11 teach us? That the grace of God, which appeared to all men, has come for our salvation. And it teaches us to say no to ourselves and to say yes to Jesus. To deny worldliness and ungodliness, and to say yes to sober living, righteous living, to simply say yes to Jesus, doing what? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all lawlessness, and purify for himself his own peculiar people who are zealous for good works. Not only has our past been dealt with, but our future is secure. We got a promise, the blessed hope and glorious appearing of God. He's coming for us, amen. And there's nothing in this world that can corrupt that. There's not anything in this world can taint that. There's not anything in this world can separate us from that commitment and that love. That is what we call the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, not only does it affect my future with Him, but that revelation of that causes me to rejoice right now. That I am innocent and my King is going to come take me out of this old defiled world one day. But in the meantime, he's got something for me to do. In the meantime. And in the meantime, what I am in Him, he's going to work that out in me. He's going to make me more, not only positionally justified or righteous, He's going to start working out some practical righteousness out of my life to make me look more like Jesus. Now to do that, He deals with my past that's going to affect my present. He deals with my future that's going to affect my present so that I can now walk through this life. And even though I got to face tribulations, He's going to tell me the things that I've got to face in life is doing something far greater in me than the things that I got to face through life. Watch how He unfolds this. Verse number 3. He says, if that wasn't enough, and not only all that, but we also get to glory or delight or celebrate in what? Tribulations, trouble. Why do we get to celebrate in troubles or tribulations like Nehemiah was going through? Because we know something. What do we know? We know that tribulation is working something out. It's working something in our life. It's working in this way to produce what? Patience or perseverance in us. Remember what James said? James said, when you enter in the trials and troubles and you're being tested, what are you supposed to do? Count it all. Why do you count it joy? Count it all joy when you enter into various trials and troubles. Because the trouble you're in has a purpose to work out something in your life to produce patience in your life. And if you're having trouble with the trouble, the best thing in the world you can do is go to the one who can handle your trouble. And He'll give you wisdom on how to deal with the trouble. And it's through the wisdom that He gives you to deal with the troubles that you're going through is where patience is going to do its work and where God's going to give you, where peace is going to come from Him through the wisdom and the knowledge of how He works. See, the peace from God comes through, as Paul made mention in here, we know something. What do we know? That no trial is ever wasted with Him. What do we know? That everything we're going through, God's working something out in our life. And as a result, for us to do it to bring glory to Him, we got to work with Him. And to work with Him, we need His wisdom. Because His wisdom is going to teach us how to take the next step in the problems that we're having. I've asked this question before. Is a problem if you have the answer to the problem? You don't have a problem if you have a solution, right? Do you have a problem? Brother David is it a rocket scientist? You deal with problems, right? Solutions for problems. Have y'all faced some problems that you don't have answers for? And what are they? They're a problem, aren't they? And you're steady trying to figure out solutions in a skillful, practical way to fix some of these things, but there'll always be a problem until you have the solution. But once you have the solution, it is no longer a problem. Well, who has the solution to all our problems? Who has it? How does He give us the answers to those solutions to His problems? Through His wisdom, through His knowledge, through His understanding, through His ways. So when we're going through trouble, trouble has a way of working in us to drive us to seek the Lord for solutions to the troubles or the trials that we're facing. As a result, God then inputs His wisdom in us. That is in a form of peace from God on how to deal with this. And once He's given us the answer, it's no longer a problem for us. Amen. He's producing patience in us. And the more patient we become, the more approachable we become. The more approachable we become before people, the more authentic we become. And that's where he says, not only does tribulation work in a way for us to seek God for wisdom to deal with the problems that we're going through for his answers, but when we have his answers, then he is building a character in us that authentically represents him in the problems that we're facing in life. And he uses the word character. The old King James used the word experiences. That is simply saying God is getting us to a place that he is developing a character that is like his character, but it had to come through a problem that we would seek him for a solution. And when we seek him in faith, as James says, if any man asks God for wisdom, he's got to ask him in faith. If he doesn't come to him in faith, he can't expect God to give him a solution because he doesn't believe God. But to be at peace with him, now we need peace from him to deal with the problems that we're facing. And all that is to work intimacy in our life, that we can work with him so that he can work through us. And when he's working through us, people see him more than they see us. Amen? Amen. And that's what people need to see. They need to see Jesus with the problems that we're facing in life. They just need to see Jesus. Amen. God has a path of how he does that. And that is through what Nehemiah, the trouble Nehemiah was going through, the difficulties, the inconveniences, the uneasiness, the threats, all that was working God's patience out in his life so that Nehemiah would go from being a obedient cupbearer to leading a nation in righteousness to protect the people of God from every attack of the enemy at every corner. And all these lies and vain imaginations that these foreign enemies were feeding God's people and kept them oppressed and kept them under their authority and their hand, Nehemiah came in with the practical picture of guarding their lives with what was right, which then would guard their minds with what was right and back to the ways of God. And as a result, it was transform a society. The opportunities were there the whole time for them, but they needed somebody to come in and point them in the right direction for God to reestablish his character back among them. And that only come through trouble. Amen. To seek wisdom so that character can be developed. And you see, when God's building an authentic character in us, he then is establishing a hope in us that we don't ever have to be ashamed of. We don't ever have to be disappointed in. Why? Because we walked in what we walked through because we had peace from God in what we were doing. That meant that we had this confidence in him. We had this assurance in him. We had this settled, confident, steadfast spirit that the hand of God was upon us. And that we would press through this time and that he wasn't going to keep us through things, but he was going to continue to deliver us through whatever he brought us in. And he was going to magnify his name through our life. And when that's going on, even in the hardest of news and the most difficult of times, even in horrible and horrific situations, not only do we have peace from God because we have the peace with God, then God begins to do something in us that is beyond anything that we can know or anything that we can understand. His very peace, the peace of God, how he deals with situations, begins to guard our heart and mind in things that we don't have answers for. That we're in the dark on. We just got to trust him. Amen. And we labor before him. So this idea of perfect peace that God keeps us in must begin peace with him. And then peace from him, that wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what he's doing, why he's doing what he's doing. Isaiah 33:6 says that wisdom and knowledge will be our stability and strength all the days of our life as the people of God. God uses wisdom. He uses knowledge. That's peace from him that we're doing what he's called us to do. But when we need that goes beyond what we know, God says he'll give us that kind of peace too. And that's the peace of God. Amen. And man, don't we need it?
Amen.
Oh, we need it. We need the peace of God. But I can't live in that peace if I don't have peace from Him. And that peace from Him comes through the everyday ins and outs of what He's given us in clarity on what to do and how to do it and why we do what we do, so that we can have this confidence and this assurance that I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm not disturbed and frustrated in my spirit. He's given me a peace in this, and I can work through this. Yeah, I don't want to have to go through this. This is not what I would have chosen for me, but I can bear through it because He's given me a peace that I know nothing's being wasted by Him, that He's using everything in my life to make me more like Jesus. See, that's the peace from Him. Because I've got peace with Him, amen. Because He's reconciled me to Himself. I'm no longer an enemy. I'm no longer hostile. And I don't have to keep bringing up why I can't do this and why I shouldn't do that and why this can't be and shouldn't be. It puts me in a position to stand in grace. And when I stand in grace, God begins to give me His peace of how He uses troubles and trials and fires and tests and opposition and all these ugly things that this fallen world throws at you, is that He's working it out something far better than anything you can actually know and understand right now. He's using it to make us more like Him. Amen? Amen. So that we can walk in the peace of God. Because it's going to happen. You'll need it. But think about it like this. Let's say Hunter's going to go on a trip with the school. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Hunter. Boy, he popped up his head quick. Let's say Hunter's going to take a trip. What grade you in, Hunter? Sixth grade? Well, what grade they send the kids off to Washington, D.C.? Is that the fifth grade they normally do that? What grade is that they normally do, take a Washington, D.C. trip? One of those grades, I never took that trip. But let's say you're going to take it. Let's say that trip is 6 months out. Josh and Kate wouldn't give Hunter the money he needs for that trip 6 months out for a trip that he's going to take in 6 months and put in his hand. God, they will give him what he needs just before they take off on that trip on a train or on a plane or whatever. They'll put resources in his hand, say, this is what you need. This is how you're going to spend it. This is what you're going to use it for. It's going to pay for your meals. It's going to pay for this. You're going to get to go to this and go to that and use it like this. They'll write it down. They wouldn't do that 6 months in advance. They'll do it when he needed them to do it. Amen. You see, that's that peace of God that goes beyond our understanding. God gives it to you exactly when you need it. When you need it. You may not understand everything now, but He'll give it to you when you need it. You ask the question, well, can I face these trials and these troubles? Can I face persecution and rejection? Can I be martyred for Jesus? Well, peace with Him and peace from Him, I would say you can. But we don't know until you put in that situation. And you don't know what you need until you put in that situation. But God's promised you not to worry about nothing. Mm-hmm. That's right. But go to Him over it. Give it over to Him. And He says, that peace that you need for that situation, I'll give it to you when you need it. And it'll guard you. And it'll guard your heart and mind for Christ, in Christ, for the glory of Christ, exactly when you need it. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you, Nehemiah had it. Come on. God kept giving it to him again and again and again. So much as when they threatened him as we close out. Y'all remember in our reading this morning, matter of fact, the enemy sent him several letters. Yeah. Sent him, matter of fact, I think 10 letters, 10 different times, and says, we need to meet. Nehemiah knew they wanted to meet to hurt him, to harm him, to squelch this. I mean, their livelihoods have been stripped away. Things fixed to change for them. They got to go home back to mom and their kids, said, we ain't living high on the hog anymore because a man come in, had a heart for God's people. They're not going to live the way they lived anymore, and things are changing. And Mama says, well, you got to do something about this. You got to kill that old Nehemiah. You got to get him out of here and let the people get back the way it was. We'll be able to live like we've always lived. Well, Nehemiah was in on to what they were doing. You know what he sent a word back? He said, I got too great of a task going on here to go meet with you. My work is much more important of what God's given me to do here than go gather and meet with you. I got work to do for the king, and part of that work ain't meeting you somewhere to hear your complaint. The work's too important to leave it to come visit with you. You see, a man who had peace with him, a man who had peace from him, is a man who will walk with the peace of God in the threats of the enemy. Amen? Amen. Our work's too busy. We got too great of a task to get caught up in the frivolous mindset of an anti-Jesus society to get us distracted from the work that he's called us to. Amen? But I won't know that unless I'm walking in peace from him. Then I can walk in peace of God. Father, we thank you. I pray that you help us today recognize who we are in Christ, that we are justified and free and innocent before you, and that we stand in this grace, that you teach us, that you build us and grow us and guard our hearts and minds, that we can have all that you promised us in Christ. I love you. I praise you. Thank you for being our blessed hope. We look for your appearing. We live in the light of your return. Help us and teach us how to live and how to love and how to keep looking to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was reading that in Peter this past week where Peter says that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his holy people, a peculiar people who have been bought, sought, and caught by Jesus. Taken out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light, that we may declare or show forth his praises to his glory. Amen. I want to walk in his peace. I want it from him, but I want to walk in how he sees life and things. Amen. Amen. The peace of God. Always glad to have family and guests and friends with us. Y'all welcome anytime, and pray that the God will just continue to bless you in health and wealth, just as your soul prospers in the Lord, that we would remain blessable for his sweet blessings. Amen? Amen. 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 Love y'all.